Welcome to Man Strong Podcast. This is your host, Clint Locklear. We're going to talk about this, some different things about being a better man than we were yesterday, last week, and especially when we were boys. So, I want to start off with something just because it seems to be so prevalent today. And I listen to a lot of different podcasts, and I listen to different friends, and I do a lot of thinking. Just my nature alone, you know, I'm by myself quite a bit. I'm in my lure shop. I'm lifting weights. I'm doing things like that. And it's not really a group type of life that I have. I spend time with friends. I spend time with family, with my wife and stuff like that. But on a day-to-day basis, I spend time by myself and I get to think. Whether that is good or bad, it does lead me to questions and observations and different things. So what I thought I would do, because we have this election coming up, and I've talked about how crazy it could be, because the election is definitely being set up the way that we set up other foreign governments to overthrow a government. Whether that goes through or not, I don't know if it'll work on the American people. I think it will on some. We just don't know. But when you look at the world today, just from a logical, reasonable point of view, why is there such a divide between a conservative, and I'm not talking about Republican, or a liberal, and I'm not talking about Democrats? Conservative and a liberal. I think there's two reasons. And I think if we understand this when we're talking to somebody, we might be able to have a little bit better of a conversation than it turning into a screaming match or both sides get frustrated and leave. Because that's a weak way to try to talk to somebody. It just really is. First off, you don't try to win, you try to communicate. Huge difference. You're not trying to get you or have a gotcha moment. You're trying, because if you do, all it is now their only option now is to try to get you back. And that's childish. So let's not go there. One of the reasons that it seems to be more clear to me about when I do listen to what liberals say, it's very different from the way that I think and the way a lot of conservatives think. And it gets confusing and frustrating. And it's kind of like, why don't you get it? While they're looking at you going, why don't you get it? And it just gets more separated and separated. So what I've kind of come to the conclusion of what a conservative is, it's an ideology that the individual is responsible for their outcome. If you give individuals more freedom and more free reign, they do cooler stuff. They want to build businesses. They want to build industry. They want to go conquer something. They want to have a better life. They want to get their kids in the best school. And they themselves, individually, believe it is their responsibility to make it happen. Now, when I talk to a liberal, it is not that way that it comes across to me when I talk to them. It seems like they see oppression and they looking for an equal outcome of everything. So, you know, if there's more males in scientific studies, then that proves that there's, you know, something negative going on and they need to have a system in place to correct it. Or if there is, and they never look at a cultural difference of different cultures, and it's not really a race. I think more of it's just where you're from. You know, when you're in the Northeast, you have, and in the Midwest, and I was just joking with a friend of this a couple weeks ago, you have more of a Puritan type outlook on things. You've got to be busy. You've got to hustle. You've got to constantly be moving. It's almost like sinful just to sit down and relax. You've got to move. Even if you're just piddling and tinkering, you got to be doing something. That's more Puritan. Now, that can be a white person in New York or a white person in Iowa. I'm a white person in Tennessee. we do not have the same Puritan views here, and I'm not talking about religious, but I'm just talking about work ethic, Puritan work ethic, that you do up north. We work really hard when we need to. We relax really hard when we can. We play really hard. And we don't feel like we have to constantly be working on, like if a person in say the Midwest is thinking about a business, they're you know, somehow it's better if they work 18 hours a day. In the South, if I can get it done in 4, I'm just as happy to go sit on the riverbank and throw a line in the water and wait on a catfish. But that would drive somebody with a Puritan work ethic different. See, that's a cultural difference. I can spend all day with my wife out on the boat not doing a dang thing, except maybe catching a few fish, reading, drinking some good wine, enjoying nature. I don't feel guilty about that at all. But see, that's more of a Southern cultural kind of thing. And up north, it seems wasteful. One seems very stressful to me because you've constantly got to be moving. And they think it seems very wasteful the way that we go about it. Now, we accomplish the same things, but our culture is different the way we do it. And I'm talking all white people here. But let's say the Southern guy makes more money, has a bigger business, sells more product, has more freedom than, say, someone with a Puritan work ethic because they do a lot of busy work that's not actually that functional. Well, the Southern guy, and I'm not referring to me, but the Southern guy probably is going to end up with more money. Their kids are going to probably end up because of more money, maybe a better education, maybe a better chance and or a better example of how to do that. And if this continues on generationally, well, it's not fair to the guy that's doing a Puritan work ethic because the outcomes are different, even though our cultural ways of going about it are very different. So a liberal will see that as there's a problem. Well, see, a conservative doesn't see that as a problem because you can do whatever it is that you want to do, as much or as little or as efficient or as inefficient as you want to be, and that's totally up to you. But when a liberal looks at maybe a certain race doesn't have the same employment or the same income or the same style of housing or the same style of cars or whatever it is, they look at things through a systems point of view. And what I mean by systems, most of the time it's government, business, corporation, stuff like that. And if there's an unequal anything, it's because those people are holding this other group down for whatever reason, and they need the system to either be destroyed and changed, which is what we're seeing now with Antifa and Black Lives Matter. I think they really believe it. Just as much as I believe that it's up to the individual, they believe it's up to the systematic processes of the government and the world. So when there's a problem, they want government to fix it. And as a conservative, I believe it's up to the individual. So I don't want the government fixing it. We can handle that. Someone that's willing to work, willing to do good, willing to stand up and be a man, they can do what they need to do. And they don't need government interfering because it always seems to screw up. So you have these two different ideologies. One is based on equal outcomes, which to me is ridiculous, but to them it's real. And to me it's up to the individual, which to them is ridiculous, and to me is real. So when you're having conversations, you can see why it's really hard. That's why they always laugh at the idea of, you know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You got to work harder and smarter and stuff like that. They don't think that that matters. They think there's a systematic something in place that's not allowing people to reach their potential. It's never the individual of whatever group they're referring to's problem of not reaching their potential. It could never be the individual. It's always another group, and there's repression involved. So when you see this great divide with Trump, it kind of makes better sense if you look at it this way. The other thing is the way that we get information. We, who's we? Well, we's whoever you are. I've played around and with Google, and I've done some experiments, and I advise you to do the same thing because you'll be amazed at the difference in it. I started getting all of these stuff. I still use AOL just because that's what I've always used, and it's not a, you know, it's an old person's email, I guess, but I still use it. But they have AOL News. Well, when I was buying all this equipment for my gym, you know, it goes through Google's algorithm. This guy is interested in exercise. Before I was buying the gym, I would get standard political stories, you know, the dog was saved in the river in the ice by the whoever, you know, what this Democrat did or what that Republican did. But as soon as I started buying that equipment, half of my stories were about physical fitness. And just a couple of weeks, half. And since I never, because it, to me it's a total waste of time to go to AOL, which is very liberal, to go to AOL and do anything political, I never touched political stuff on there. Now it's about three quarters fitness or nutrition or something like that. The algorithm is showing me what I want to see. So then I started only doing stuff that was bashing Trump. Within a week, 80% of everything that I saw was bashing Trump. And then if there was articles that was somewhat negative towards liberals, which is not very often on AOL, I would click on them, and that would lead me to a page where I'd click on another one, and I'd click on another one, and I'd click on another one. Lo and behold, I started getting stuff that was slamming liberals, and I wasn't seeing the stuff anymore that was bashing Trump. So what you go out and look for is what you're going to find. So if you're a Trump supporter, you're going to look at stuff that supports Trump. You're going to look at conservative stuff. I like the idea of libertarian, so I'll look up sometimes what the libertarian view on stuff is. And so that's what I'm seeing. Now, your friend that's a liberal, he's not looking at stories that's bashing liberals. He's only looking at stuff that's bashing Trump. That's why when you talk to a liberal, if you're a Trump guy, which I am, and you bring up the tax cuts and how much that helped the economy and how much money that put in everybody's bank account, they don't see the tax cut the same way because they never read the tax cut the same way. It was just helping the wealthy 1%, which is bullcrap, but that's all they see. That's all they know. That's what they believe. They don't know about Obama dropping off $500 million of cash in the middle of the night to Iran. If you tell them that, they'll say you're full of shit. If you talk about Biden's family being so corrupt, that how does a person that only makes probably over the 47 years he's been in the government, probably averaged when you, the whole income probably is $100,000 a year, how does he generate $3 million a year? How are all of his family members that don't really produce or do anything, how are they all multimillionaires? And then all this stuff's coming up with these emails where Biden is selling the influence of the vice president to different countries for different reasons, and they're paying him outrageous amount of money, and he's not really doing anything in a business. And now all these emails are coming out, and it's very clear that they are super corrupt. Your liberal friend doesn't know that, because he's never seen that, because what he looks up never shows him that. So when you say Biden's corrupt, they just look at you like you got three heads. Well, what about his son? making all those millions of dollars from Ukraine. What? No, that's been debunked. No, it hadn't. What about Biden's other brother making millions of dollars straight from the Chinese government when he was vice president? No. That's just conspiracy theory stuff. No, it's not. But you can see how it's like we're two totally different realities that are crashing. And we just don't see it. See, I've hung around a lot of hippies. When I was in permaculture, that brings on hippies like, you know, like rotten meat to a yellow jacket. They just flock. And at first, I didn't understand hippies. And then when I started listening to hippies, I realized they don't really believe in the individual unless it's them. And they believe in everything that has anything to do with money is bad. Anything to do with business is bad. And anything to do but with programs to help poor people is bad in government. So you can imagine some of our conversations were a little wonky. But what I found out from talking, they're not being malice. They're not evil people. Their realities is so different from the information that they see on a daily basis. Like to them, climate change is a massive thing because all they do is research climate change and all they hear is how we're all going to be dead, you know, in 20 years because of climate change. And what do conservatives look at? They look at it from a more, not emotional point of view, but a logical point of view, and it just doesn't make sense. I mean, if a weatherman can't tell me what the weather is in 3 days, I surely don't think he's going to know what's going to be in 100 years. The response we should have for climate change, if it is man-made, is totally different because you've got individuals on one side and you got someone looking at systematic ways of government on the other. One's always going to step on the other. So when you're getting really frustrated, because it's going to get crazy for the next couple weeks, and it's going to be even crazier after that because we're not going to know who the president is for who knows how long. It's going to have to be such a landslide, which I don't think it's going to be a landslide like a lot of conservatives are thinking. All the mail-in ballots, all the lawsuits, it's going to ratchet up everybody's hostility. But when you see somebody, you're talking with somebody, and they're liberal and you're not, or you're liberal and they're not, just kind of keep this in mind. Probably not an evil, demonic individual, even though I think some of them that are really progressive are malicious about what they do, like the news. But the average person you meet, that's not them. They want to have a comfortable life. They want their kids to do well. They want to have plenty of food to eat and not worry about the electric bill and that their car is going to start in the morning just like you. Just like you. But their worldview of individual or systematic is not the same. And the information they see is not the same. I want to thank our sponsor, which is Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. If you're into trapping, he's got a full line of trapping supplies. If you're into deer hunting, fishing, hog hunting, bear hunting, predator calling, he's got everything you need. Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. It's an honest company, does great shipping, good prices, and just great people. So if you're looking for somebody and you're into that type thing, I would be checking them out. Now I want to talk about something that's a little different. What does it mean to have a will to win? Not that you want to win, but a will to win. Have you ever really thought about that? How do you have confidence as an individual? See, everybody, it's so screwed up today because kids are taught that they're special from the day one. Their teachers tell them they're special. Their professors tell them they're special. But they've never proven that they're special. Now, they're individuals, and I guess that makes you unique, but does it really make you special? It's kind of like in that cartoon that had the superheroes, and the villain guy said, well, if everybody's special, nobody's special. It's kind of the truth. So where does confidence and a will to win come from? It comes from doing stuff you don't like doing. See, in the military, there were certain missions we did that weren't that bad. Training missions, real missions, whatever. Some of them weren't that bad. And then there were some because it was cold, you know it's going to be raining, you know that you weren't going to get any sleep, you knew it was in crazy hard to get over terrain. And as you're getting the operations order, everybody's kind of looking around at each other and going, this is going to suck. And it was. And it did. But you do it anyway. Partly because you'll go to jail in the military for disobeying orders. No one wants to go to Leavenworth. And partly because when you're actually in a group like that and you're looking at other men in the eyes that are getting ready to go through the same thing, you don't want to be the weak link. You don't want to be the big wuss of the group. You don't want to be the whiner. So you just ruck up and you get done whatever you need to do. And you do that over and over and over again. So before long, yeah, no one likes it when it sucks, but it's just what you do. You know, we say enjoy the suck. It's kind of a hyperbole of what it really means, because no one really enjoys it, but you got to do it anyway. Now, a lot of people are not in the military, so they have never got to experience that. But once you do a lot of these training missions, or real missions, that you complete, that sucks, and you win, and you win, and you win, and you learn, and you win, and you keep embracing the suck, the idea of failing becomes very hard. Because you've done been through the fire, the cold, the ice, live rounds, people being hurt, carried more weight than any human was supposed to be able to, getting lost, getting unlost, freezing to death when you got to cross water, or it's just drizzling for 2 days straight and it's 33 degrees outside. Everything you own is wet. Your pubic hairs are dripping if they're not frozen. After doing that over and over and over again, you've got a will to win. Why? Because you did something you didn't want to do and you had to struggle. And the more you struggle, the more you're better at struggling, and the more your will to win is going to come up. Our country is so soft today. What in the world do people have to struggle with? Part of the reason that we have so much anxiety, I believe, in our society today is everybody knows that they are full of crap about them being winners and special and knowing that they can complete. They don't have a will to win and they have a fake confidence. It's fake. They try to tell themselves. They watch their motivational videos. They listen to Goggins telling them they got to do this, and Jacko and guest on Joe Rogan about, you know, Cameron Haynes and stuff like that. But they never do it. They watch other people do it. And somehow they think that through osmosis of a screen or a book, that it's going to instill this confidence that they'll never have because they've never done. And I want to give a few examples. When I was a young man becoming a professional trapper, and I know, and I've got a good friend that thought the same way as me, and we're about in the same place now in the trapping industry as far as income and respect, and you know, we can do things now that we couldn't do then. But we would go do stuff that guys would talk about but would never do. We'd go from state to state, living off in crappy places with crappy food, barely making ends meet, pushing our bodies to the very limit to catch animals at a high number. So after a while of doing this over and over, just like the missions in the military, there's a certain confidence that comes with, I can go anywhere and catch anything under any circumstances, and I can do it in volume because I've done it over and over and over again. Confidence, it's a will to win. It only comes through suffering. It only comes through challenging mentally and physically. But we don't do that anymore. That's just not the way things really are. But we find people like Cameron Hayes that runs marathons on his lunch break, can run up the side of a mountain with his pack on, 11,000 feet, shoot an elk, skin it out, drag it back, eat the liver raw, and then you watch him on Instagram, and every day he's doing body exercises, he's lifting weights, he's running, he's doing core work, he shoots his bow every day no matter what. And then when you watch him hunt, there is a confidence about Cameron Hayes that you can't get unless you go through what Cameron Hayes has, which is a lot of suffering. And I know suffering sounds so bad in the modern world, but it puts things in perspective. Kids that don't play sports and only play video games, I just don't see where they're going to learn any confidence or a will to win when they need to when they're an adult. Because if you're going to start a business or compete in an industry as a salesman and you don't have a will to win, you're gonna be mediocre at best. And you're always gonna struggle. Sports is struggling. Doing two-a-days in Tennessee or Alabama when it's 105 degrees, and back then drinking water was a sign of weakness, it was a struggle just not to pass out. Plus, you're doing all the other stuff that we were doing in all them pads in the middle of the day, never in the morning, never in the evening. The more miserable it was, the better the coaches thought the training was. Kind of like the military. But if you suffer enough in training, in football, basketball, baseball, hockey, soccer, whatever, you get this will to win. And you get a confidence that you can't get from video games or academics or music or just laying around and watching TV. But that's what most people today do. They do enough work so they can lay around and do nothing. But they have this confidence. And this is what blows me away. Most guys, well, if he says that to me, I'll whoop his ass. Really? When is the last time you whooped another man's ass? When is the last time you took a punch? Have you ever? When is the last time you felt physical pain? Because that's what a fight is. But I can whoop his ass. I know I can. I'm special. My dad said I was special. My mom said I was special. I'm a winner. Really? What have you won at? Better yet, what have you lost and learned from? it's fake. Now, if the same person goes to a jiu-jitsu place or a martial arts or a boxing club and they spar all the time, there's going to be some confidence there. Why? Because they had to struggle and they had to suffer to get real will to win in a real confidence. If you want your children to be confident, I've never taken it. I'm 51 years old. I'm not sure that's exactly where I need to be at 51, but I would definitely have my kids in jiu-jitsu. They're going to have a self-confidence that you're not going to be able to understand if you've never went through something like that, because they're going to lose and have to tap out on a daily basis. They're going to get rolled up and pinned, and they're going to get all these different bar locks and neck locks, and they're going to have to tap out. And sometimes they're going to win. They're going to lose a lot. They're going to keep struggling. They're not going to be afraid of people putting their hands on them because they're used to it. That builds confidence. Video games? No. Sorry. I guess you can be confident in playing a video game, but outside of that, what good does it do you? That's part of the reason I like lifting weights. Every day that you go and you put in a real workout, whether it's running or weights or body exercises or strongman or, you know, tactical type stuff, it really puts you in a different frame of mind. Because every day you're going to struggle. Every day. Some days you're going to win, some days you're going to lose. But you're going to continuously, if you stick with it, you're going to have a will to win and a will to be able to push your body that someone that never pushes their body is never going to understand, no matter how much they lie to themselves about being a confident person and a winner. And that's simple. 45 minutes to an hour a day. If you're going to go do it. Like you're trying, you know, you got an MMA fight coming up, or you're going to try out for the Dallas Cowboys, or whatever it is that you're going to do. You train and you train hard and watch the attitude difference that you're going to have. See, when I got some of the stuff to practice striking, I'm ex-military. I played football, even up to semi-pro. I'm an outdoorsman, full-blooded redneck. When I started actually having to strike something, it didn't take me but a few seconds to realize I suck at this. After a month of doing it, I'm getting more proficient. I'm getting more confident. Now I'm realizing my big old butt, even though I can push a lot of weight, I'm not very flexible and I'm not very nimble when I'm doing it. So I'm now looking up things that can work on footwork. Not because I want to be a fighter, because I just want to be more confident. If something arises where I need to strike, I want to do it well. And I won't be in such a adrenaline dump of fear when it happens, because when you watch most adults get face to face and they think it's really going to happen, you can see both of them getting an adrenaline dump the same as you would in a firefight, because they realize all of a sudden that there's a chance that all of their false confidence is going to fail them, because they know they don't know how to strike, they don't know how to fight, they don't know how to take pain, they don't know how to suffer, they don't know how to do anything. And it's about to become very open to everybody else and themselves that they've been lying to themselves about this false confidence. So if you want to be a winner and have a will to win, you have to unequivocally find things that you do that's going to push yourself mentally and physically on a regular basis. Weightlifting is an easy one. CrossFit is an easy one. joining a church basketball league when you hadn't played in 5 or 10 years or 15 or 20. That's pretty easy. But you'll gain confidence. If you've got kids and all you're doing is continuously lying to them about them having some superpower that they don't have, and you're so protective of them that you don't let them ever suffer and gain real confidence and a real will to survive something, don't be surprised when they don't have it when they need it. And that's a sad thing to do. A good example. Right now, I've got people that live around me that are in the gun show circuit. They are getting anything they can get their hands on and trying to find any gun that anybody will sell them, because they can take it to a gun show and sell a whole table full of guns in about 30 minutes at whatever price pretty much they want to put on there, because people are scared to death. They know that the election could set off something that's going to put them in physical danger or their family in physical danger. They keep hearing stories about people just walking up to people and knocking them out, beating them up, dragging them out of cars, setting buildings on fire. All this stuff that they didn't think would ever happen in America, and now they can't get away from it happening in America, because that happens over there somewhere else. That's on the bad side of the tracks. Not anymore. So they're buying guns. Do they know how to use them? Probably enough to load them and pull the trigger. Do they know how to use them under stress? I would say very few people that have guns have ever had to use an experience in their life where they know what it's like to fire a weapon under extreme pressure and stress. I've got some friends that's been in personal shootouts with bad guys, and listening to them tell the story, it was obvious that it never happened the way they thought it would, and it was a blur. And I guarantee you, when it was all said and done, they all realized that they should have had a whole lot more training. So, confidence. Will to win. Will to win is mental, and it only comes from suffering. Confidence only comes from completing tasks in that particular issue, right? If you watch me shoot a pistol, there's a lot of confidence. There's a lot of confidence with me with an AR. Well, I had lots of experience with it in the military. Grew up hunting, still hunt. With the pistols, I train and try to put myself in stressful situations with a pistol. Clear example, if you think that you're ready to be in a gunfight, I want you to sprint 30 yards, if you can even do that. Don't do it if you haven't ever sprinted in the last 30 years, because you'll tear something off. But do something that's going to really get your heart rate up. Maybe just walk really fast up a hill. Knock out 20 push-ups, 20 sit-ups, stand up, pull the gun, and hit a target at 15 meters that's about as big as a pie plate. You got to do it as soon as you come off of the sit-up. It's humbling. The gun's not sitting still. See, it's really easy with a gun, and people get a lot of false confidence about this, that you go to a range and you got a paper target set up at a certain, and you get the perfect stance with the perfect grip, with the perfect bullet, with the perfect sights, in the perfect environment, and you can shoot it and hit the target so many times out of 10 or 100 or whatever it is. But is that really building true confidence? No. Do a little bit of exercise right before you pull it and watch what happens. Can you pull your pistol, drop down to a knee, and still hit your target immediately? Can you double tap? Can you hit multiple targets within just a second or two with your pistol? Have you ever shot over the hood of something, around the back bumper of something? Did you even know that if it's a good idea to or not to shoot through a window of your car at somebody if your life depended on it? What's going to happen to the bullet? Can you get to your gun fast enough and be able to hit a target before you ever get it up where you can even see the sights? Have you ever shot from the prone? Have you ever shot with your weak hand? See, this is sounds like it's super training, but it's really not. That's the way I fire pistols. One of my favorite things to do is carry a 40-pound kettlebell up to, we got a range in the woods, not that far from me, a couple hundred yards. And I'll do kettlebell swings, and I'll do push-ups, and I'll do some sprints, and I'll do different things like that. And then after I'm winded, that's when the training starts. I practice shooting over stuff, through stuff, around stuff, and under stuff. It's more fun to do, honestly. Brings out the kid in you. It's not as boring as standing there and just shooting at a paper target that's always the same. And when you start doing what I'm telling you to do, if you decide to, if you think it's important and you want to have real confidence with a handgun, you're going to suck. I know all guys think that they're just natural born killers and shooters, but when you do this the first time, and there's all kind of stuff on YouTube, on drills you can do, you're going to suck. And you do it some more and you get a little bit better. You do it some more, you get a little bit better. A little bit better. You start gaining confidence. Shoot when you can move. Shoot on the move. Move between shots. All the stuff that people at the perfect gun range never, ever do. Because I guess they think a bad guy is just going to be standing 15 feet away and not doing anything. It builds confidence. It's fun. And it puts it more realistic. See, what's going to happen to a lot of people, that if things do go really sideways between the two sides in this country, they're going to have the bullets and the guns, and they're going to realize how hard it is to actually shoot someone in a real world situation, because things move. You're not going to be prepared. It's going to happen fast. You could be out of breath. And you can get some confidence by going to a regular range and doing the regular thing. But if you want to have high confidence, learn to move when you shoot. Learn how to use cover and shoot around the cover. Learn how to do tactical reloads. Get in the habit of counting how many shots you shoot. How many you've got in your weapon. That builds real confidence. Now, I never, ever want to have to throw a punch at a human being. For one, I'm scared that it may not be exactly warranted and I can actually hurt somebody when I didn't need to go to that route. Because as you start getting stronger with lifting weights and you're starting to strike, you realize you can really hurt somebody. That's right, Mike Tyson was such a terror. He was super strong, super fast, super explosive, and he was just destroying people. He was like an assassin in a boxing ring. Now, I'm nowhere near that, but I could see that I could hurt somebody. And I never want to pull a pistol on somebody because the way, you know, Thunder Ranch is a Clint out there, not me, him. You know, you never point a gun at something you don't want to destroy. And the more that you do tactical stuff with a weapon, I think the better control you're going to have in a situation. So you don't do stupid stuff and have to spend the rest of your life in prison over it. So my question to everybody, what did you do today that's actually going to build a will to win in real world confidence? What did you do yesterday? What did you do last week? What are you planning to do next week and next month? Or you can just coast along and make sure everything's super duper comfortable. When you look at psychology, and I'm going to end with this. When you look at psychology and people that get into people's heads, the one common denominator about what makes people happy is not completing a goal. Like, I can tell you, when I decided that I was going to catch 1,000 beaver in a year just because that was a cool number, and I met that goal, as soon as that was over with, it's like everything in you gets inflated or just deflated, and it's over, and you're kind of don't know what to do. If you talk to anybody that does powerlifting or bodybuilding, or they win a national champion as an NFL player, or, you know, they want to have a $1 million business and they reach it, now that's when the unhappiness usually starts. Did you know when those people are happy? When they're constantly aiming for that goal. Not reaching the goal, but striving for the goal. That's what psychologists, that's when they say most people are the happiest. So if you want to bench 315 pounds, once you bench 315 pounds, it didn't really mean that much anymore. But you had a whole lot of excitement building up to training to get there. Going a horse thing out in Colorado to get elk, you're way more excited all the way up to the point of pulling the trigger and then when the hunt's over. It's the aim. It's the reason for. That's what makes you happy. And all the stuff that gives you real confidence happens in that shooting for the goal. The will to win is from shooting for the goals. All the failures and all the success, it all equals up to the same thing. And what we really need in this country is a lot more happy people, which means you got to aim for something. Most people aren't aiming for anything, nothing, crap, zero. They don't have any aim throughout their day, their job, their family, their hobbies, nothing. And you wonder why everybody seems so grim and miserable. Get an aim and suffer for it. Build confidence. You'll be a much better man when you go about that route. Comfort is nice, but comfort also makes you soft. Don't be a soft man. It's not attractive. It's not even practical in the real world. You need some edge to you, a little bit of hardness to you, some real confidence to you. And you get that by doing things that aren't always fun. But as long as you're doing it, pursue something. Not so much actually for the goal, but the pursuit of. You'll be a much mentally stronger man and a much happier man and a better father and a better husband and a better business owner and everything else because you actually earned confidence instead of just trying to claim it when you know it's not real. So go do something. Do something you don't want to do. Sweat a little bit. Grunt a little bit. Bleed a little bit. Enjoy it. Embrace it. That's what I'm asking everybody to find something this week that you can do that's going to make you better. And if you don't have to work at it, you ain't getting better at it. And I'll talk to y'all next week.